You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Excuse me. We're serious
you
about
sound
this sleep
like how
strategy
I feel.
Thing. We're serious about this sleep strategy thing, Adora. I mean, we want America to call with their sleep strategies, 877-8-MY-TAKE. But for early voters around America, the polls are already open. Here's Doug.
I was an extra on a TV show, right? I was a limousine driver. And I had to sit there in the cold for hours. And on the radio, I picked up a town hall style debate that Barack Obama was doing in the primaries. And the way that I listened to him speak and address the questions from the audience and just speak honestly and openly and plainly to people, and I just said, that's my man. He's got to be the president.
That's how Doug made up his mind. Obama did not approve this message, but here at The Takeaway, we're conducting an exit poll of early voters. What was the moment where you made your decision on who to vote for? Democracy's hotline is 877-8-MY-TAKE. It's America's exit poll on The Takeaway. Adora?
And right now, John, we're going to take a look at how those votes are going to be counted and what many predict will be a record turnout this year. Records have already been broken in new voters registering, nearly 2 million of them. More states than ever have opened polls early. And this week, accusations have been flying about voter fraud and illegal purging of voter rolls. Now, despite all of these accusations, Professor Nate Persily from Columbia University School of Law argues fraud is the least of our worries. Welcome back, Professor.
Thanks for having me back.
What should we be worried about?
I think that the so-called fraud integrity debate is actually a distraction from what are going to be the real problems this time. And a lot of that is the garden variety problems that we see every election, but magnified by the enormous turnout that we're going to see, particularly in significant African-American precincts.
So give us that list.
Well, one thing one has to sort of look at is that there are a lot of states that are grappling with new technological challenges this time. Several states are looking at new voter registration databases that they've never used before, statewide voter registration databases, as well as new types of technology, whether it's electronic voting machines, optical scan, et cetera. You have a largely untrained and unfamiliar poll worker administration class of people who are going to be confronting record numbers of voters using those new technologies and using those new systems. And that's when we look at things like voter ID and the purges and other things, we're talking maybe in the low, you know, hundreds or thousands of people. But these types of problems are going to be the things that produce very long lines in areas where we see the high turnout.
Well, let's look at some numbers for a second. In Ohio, there are 700,000 new voters, Florida, 500,000, and Colorado, 300,000 new voters. And I pick those three states because many are talking about them as being particularly troublesome. Have those states spent money and time on, A, educating their poll workers, and, B, in preparing for what is expected to be many, many voters?
They've done their best. And I have to say that the turnout's going to be large across the board. We're going to see problems in even the so-called sort of safe states, the very blue or the very red states. The problem is we're not going to care about them as much because they won't potentially be determinative of the outcome, and they won't be the states that people are watching. But in Ohio right now there's about a lawsuit a day there where the parties are going back and forth over various machinations that are happening between the Secretary of State's office and the county's boards of elections. I tend to think that Ohio, so many people are watching Ohio that they are actually a little bit better prepared than other places, but it remains to be seen. And we know that there were huge lines in 2004 in Ohio when we were watching them as well. And so I think it's likely there. I also think the new battleground states, which had never been prepared for this kind of scrutiny, places like North Carolina, Virginia, and Colorado are places that we sort of have to keep our eye on. Some of those states, particularly Colorado, New Mexico, if I had to pick it before this election, would have been the place I would have looked at most of all because of the variation in the counties there and how they're going to be administering the election.
Professor, I'm just going to suggest that you restrain from making some predictions, because when we get to the end of this interview, I'm going to remind you about something that you said to us many months ago. But first, let me ask you about how do you think all of these states offering early voting is going to affect the counting of the vote? Is it going to alleviate some of these issues that you're talking about?
Yes. If I had sort of one piece of advice is to, in those states where you can vote early or there's no fault absentee, that is a lifting of a great burden on the system this year, is how many places you can do that in. In fact, in some states like New Mexico, Colorado, and Montana, those battleground states, you're going to have over 40% of the votes are going to be cast earlier absentee. Places like Oregon, where it's going to be completely absentee, and even in California, where maybe a third of the ballots are going to be cast absentee.
Okay, and I guess I should have said refrain as opposed to restrain, but I think you told us back in April that Indiana was not going to be a terribly competitive state.
Well, my feeling about that is that if it is a competitive state, then this election is over. Because if Barack Obama is tied with McCain in Indiana, frankly, he's won, you know, many more electoral votes than it's going to make a difference. So, yeah, it is possible that Indiana is close, although I tend to think that it's not as close as people are saying. But if it is, then you know, we have answered the election administrator's prayer, which is what they pray before election day is, God, let it not be close. And so if that actually is competitive, then this election is over.
Professor, I feel your pain. You have to watch what you say around Adore Udoji. I live that every single day.
Well, I should say that was in the context of talking about the voter ID debate. And one thing we did learn from the primary election is that there are many fewer voters than some might have expected who faced voter ID problems at the polls. The best estimates are around 500 people, which, you know, is still a large number of people, but as a percent of the voting population, quite small, who showed up to the polls without an ID that would satisfy the Indiana voter ID law.
Well, Professor, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
That's Professor Nate Persily, Professor of Law at Columbia University. And now we turn to Femi Okeh, who's got a few headlines for us.
Thanks, Adore. Coming up to 20 minutes to the top of the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.